Now, I'm going to answer the question, how to have a fantastic Lent. Make sure you do this also, so that when you get back a week from now, you get back next a week from Saturday morning, you can answer the question, here's what God did in my life during Glenary. And as I spent some time trying to wrestle with the question, how do you have a great conference? How do you get the most out of something? It's as if this one iceberg kind of rose to the surface of the ocean of my mind, and it kept floating there. And so I'm going to center everything I do tonight around this one simple issue, and that is, have a plan. If you want to have a good conference, if you want to have a good spring break, plan to do it. There's a lot of people who go through life just sort of letting life happen to them. And then there are a few people that have a plan. And the people with the plan are the people who experience more. They're the people who get more out of life in general. And in particular, they're the people who get more out of events like Glenary. So I'm going to challenge you to have a plan. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Now, he said that in Matthew 7:7. What he was talking about is prayer, but the principle applies to life in general. You tend to find things when you're looking for them. A few days ago, I was totally oblivious to the fact that I didn't know where my checkbook was until I needed my checkbook. And then I start looking around the house to find my checkbook. First place I look is in my desk drawer, and guess what? It's not there. I think, well, maybe I left it in on the dresser back in our bedroom. And I go back there, and guess what? It's not there. And this emotion starts to arise. So I think, well, what did I wear yesterday? Maybe I left it in my pockets. And so I start going through my shirts and my jeans and all the dirty clothes and trying to find it in the laundry. And it's not there. So I go out to the kitchen, and guess what? It's not there. I'm starting to dig up the cushions and the couches and stuff like that, and I don't find it. And I think, maybe it's back at the office. I drive all the way to my office, and guess what? It's not there. Well, I'm starting to get emotional. I'm about to call the bank and tell them to stop payment on checks, thinking somebody stole it. And then this thought comes to mind. I bet I put it in my wife's purse when we were over at somebody's house the other night. And sure enough, I go to the last place I would think of looking, and there it is. Now, I found my checkbook. Why? Because I was looking for it. And what I've observed about life is that people who are looking for things tend to what? Find things. In fact, people who are looking for things tend to find other things that they weren't looking for, because they're paying attention as they go along, rather than just sort of floating through life and letting life happen to them. Not only that, but guess how I treat my checkbook now? I know exactly where that checkbook is, because now that I have found it, I watch it. And I've observed that when people seek things and then find things, they tend to treasure the things that they find. So, you want to have a fantastic week at Glenary? Well, I want to challenge you. Have a plan of what you're looking for while you're there. And I want to give you some help on how to do that. For me, when it comes to planning something like a conference, I normally ask a question, and it's an incomplete question. Or it's really not a question, it's more of a statement. You have to understand, I got a degree at Kansas State University, and we don't deal a lot with grammar there, so I have a hard time telling the difference between a statement and a sentence or a question. So anyway, this isn't a question, isn't it? Questions have a curly thing at the end. Okay, this is an incomplete statement. All right. When I get back from Glenary, I will have. Well, fill in the blank. What will you have done? What will you have accomplished? Or another way of looking at this is, when I get back a week from now, from this conference, What if I don't get it, I'll feel like it was a wasted week or a failed week. And then I'll start just making a list of things that I want to accomplish, that when it's all said and done, here's what I want to achieve. And those items on that list basically become my plan. And I'm going to illustrate that for you tonight. If I was able to go to the Glen this year, some things providentially came along in my life, I don't get to go this year. But if I could go, there are five things I would do. And so I'm going to give you my plan. I think it's a pretty good plan. So if you don't have a plan of your own, you might take mine. I think you'll get something out of the Glen. But if you don't like my plan, come up with a better one. That's fine. But have a what? Plan. If I were to complete this statement, the first thing I would have under number one, when I get back from the Glen, I will have had significant encounters with God. But that's more than just a wish. I would start planning and preparing, how can I have an encounter with God? Now, I've been around God long enough to know that God is a person and I can't make Him encounter me. So I'm not naive in thinking that, okay, I'm going to plan on encountering God in the next 7 days. Well, God can do whatever He wants. And if He wants to encounter me, fine. If He doesn't, that's up to Him. He has a personality, a mind, and will of His own. But from what I read in Scripture, He really does want to meet with me. He does want to interact and fellowship with me. And He wants me to come to the conclusion of a period of time and have made progress in my journey with Him. And that's what I mean by encounter, where we interact and there's something dynamic and powerful that happens in my inner being and I'm changed as a result of it. So I can't make God do anything, but I can put myself in a position so that when He is working in my life, I'm able to respond to it and I'm able to receive what He's doing. And so if I was going to the Glen this week, I would plan to do those things that would position me to encounter God. For example, I would plan on listening carefully to everything that's taught this next week. I would go to every meeting not looking at it as, oh no, it's on the schedule. Or, I've never heard of this guy. What's he got to say? Instead, I would go planning to hear God. And I'd be paying attention to what God says. The second thing is that when we worshiped, I would put my whole heart into it. I wouldn't just sing songs. But I would allow my soul to be released from the chains of mediocrity, and I would lift up my voice and my heart to heaven, and I would honor the Lord, like David talks about in the Psalms where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? All that's within me. Bless His holy name." And I would plan to do that. And in the course of that, I would be interacting with God because I planned to do it. I didn't just sort of show up for a meeting and sing a song. I put my heart into it. But there's another thing. At a conference like Glen Eyrie, I would plan to seek out the spiritual leaders for insights and applications. I've been amazed with the account we find in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was by the seaside one day, this crowd assembled like frequently happened. And so Jesus tells a story. It's very brief, and he says, a man went out to sow one day. Some of the seed fell on the road. Birds came along and ate it. Some of the seed fell in this rocky area, and it grew up real quick, but because there wasn't enough room for the roots to develop, the sun came up and it wilted away and died. And then some fell on the weeds, and it got a good start. There's plenty of room for the roots. It's just that the weeds grew up and choked it out. And then some fell on the good soil. And on that good soil, it grew up and it bore much fruit. Now, pretend with me for a second that there are two individuals in this crowd listening to what I just said to you. Because that's all Jesus said is what I just said to you. That a man went out to sow, it fell on four different kinds of soil. And that was the end of the story. Now, let's put these two people there in the crowd. One's name is Isaac. And let's assume he's a first or second cousin to Peter, who is sort of this rookie apprentice apostle. Boy, the BSU's come a long way since I was on staff here, Max. Isaac says, the teacher tells us what to do with our garden. He tells us not to waste seed by feeding it to the birds and by letting it fall among the thorns. And we shouldn't plant seeds on rocks. We should plant seeds in good soil. And Rebecca says, wow, the great teacher taught you that? Yes, he taught us how to plant a garden. Now, that wasn't the point that Jesus was making, but Isaac totally missed it. Why? Because he didn't pursue it any further. When you read Matthew 13, some of the guys that were in that crowd, in particular the disciples, caught up with Jesus afterwards and they said, now, this is a paraphrase, but they basically said, now, would you run that by again? You know, this thing about the seed and the soils and stuff like that. Surely there was more to it than just how to plant a garden. And it was because they asked additional questions, Jesus explained the parable. And that's why we know that the seed is the Word of God and the soil is different kinds of responses from the human heart. The crowd didn't pick up on that, but the people who pursued the teacher afterwards got insights and answers that they didn't get from the message. Now, gang, you're going to hear some incredible things this week. And you'll get a lot out of it just by paying attention and taking notes. But you really want to maximize on it? Get time with the teachers this week and pick their brains and ask them to take it deeper. I was at a conference one time where Leroy Imes was speaking. And he said something, and boy, it made a lot of sense, but it really raised more questions than it answered. I caught him afterwards and said, listen, can I give you a ride to the restaurant? And he said, well, yeah. And in the car, I said, here's what I'm struggling with, A, B, and C. And it was something he had addressed in the message. And gang, he said more in 2 minutes than I needed to hear. I mean, he made sense out of an issue for me that I'd been struggling with for years. Now, I understand it now. Well, why? Not primarily because of what he said in his message, but because I went up to him afterwards and I said, would you explain this to me? There was another conference. I caught the speaker afterwards and I said, now, you said this. Now, help me understand, because I've always thought that. And he said, oh, here's what I meant. And he went and explained it to me, and I grasped it. Gang, plan on getting some time with the people who are there who can explain things. And not just the speakers, but the older Christians who can take what you're hearing in the main sessions and in the workshops and who can give you insight. Plan to do that. Just determine now, I'm going to do it. If I wanted to have an encounter with God, a significant one, I would also plan to spend extended time in solitude and prayer. It's one of the missing elements in modern life is the skill of how do you spend time alone? And while you're at the Glen, plan to get some solitude and some extended time with God. Now, for some people, extended silence is the amount of time you wait for a website to come up on America Online. And that's about the extent of solitude that we get nowadays. If you're going to spend some extended time in silence and solitude listening to God, plan on doing it. You will have opportunities in the afternoons. If you're not going skiing on Monday and Tuesday, capitalize on some of that time. And go for long walks around the grounds or stroll up to Dawson's Grave or up to the Bowls. Or if you're not into hiking,
find a quiet corner down at the carriage house or up in the castle where you can find a quiet corner and you can think. Now, if you're going to spend extended time alone with God, let me give you some tips. First of all, plan when you're going to do it. Otherwise, you'll never get around to it. You'll come back on Saturday and realize, you know something I didn't do? I didn't get extended time with God because you didn't plan to, and there were so many other things going on that you wound up getting swept along with the crowd. So plan that on Monday or Tuesday afternoon or whenever it is, you're going to do it. So plan when you're going to do it, then figure out where are you going to go so when the time comes, you know what you're going to do. You know, I'm going to go up to Dawson's Grave, or I'm going to walk down to the entry gate and back, or something like that. But you kind of have an idea, here's where I'm going to do, and then plan, here's what I'm going to try to accomplish during this time. You're not just out there wondering, okay, it's silent, now what do I do? But rather, you have an idea of, I heard something in a message yesterday, and I really want to process that. Or a speaker referred to a passage of Scripture, and I want to take that passage and delve deeper into it. Or maybe there's a major decision that you're dealing with in life that has nothing to do with Glen Eyrie, but you just need to go and spend some time interacting with God and wrestling with this question of, should I marry this guy? Or, Lord, do you really want me to get a medical degree? Or, God, I can't stand my dad, and I know that's not right. How in the world do I reconcile this relationship? And so spend that time pursuing that plan. Again, when you're looking for something, you tend to what? Find it. And the same thing's true for God. When you spend time with Him and you have that extended time alone with Him, if you're looking for something, you tend to find it. So, if I wanted to have some significant encounters with God this next week, I would plan to do it. And I'd do some things like this. I would listen to what's being taught. I'd worship with all my heart. I'd get some time with the leaders and the more mature believers that are there. And I'd really get some time alone with God. So that'd be one of the ways I'd fill in that incomplete statement. And answer the question, when I get back from the Glen, what do I want to do? Here's the second thing I'd work on if I could go to the Glen with you this year. I would have deepened and expanded my friendships. Maximize on the opportunities you have to grow closer to the people you already know, as well as getting to know people that you don't know and don't know well. And so if you're on the bus, spend part of the time with people you know, but there might be somebody you've barely gotten acquainted with, and you might say, hey, listen, this next couple of hours, could we sit together? I'd really like to find out a little bit about where you're from and where you're headed in life. And use the trip there and back to develop relationships. The second thing, make the most of those prayer and share groups. Are you having those this year? You still call them that? Or do you call them something better? Prayer share group. So we haven't come very far, have you? Well, anyway, there's going to be times, and you're going to be in groups with people who you don't know. They're from other schools. Hey, don't just go to those things and think, oh, I've got to hang around with these strangers. Look at it as, wow, I get an opportunity to develop some relationships here. In fact, Mrs. Wright might be in that group. If you're seeking, you're going to find, remember? Hey, make the most of your meals. Obviously, enjoy time at the meals with people you know, but from time to time, go sit at a table. Maybe two of you pair up and go sit at a table with people you don't know. And make some friends while you're there. Reach out to the alumni that are at the conference. There's going to be students from other campuses. There's going to be all sorts of old people there, like my age and above. So get to know them. Develop relationships while you're there. A third way that I would answer the question, if when I get back from the Glen, I will have. If I could go to the Glen this year, I would seek and plan to have invested in the lives of growing believers and disciples. I would find opportunities to minister while I'm there. And just simple ways to do that. You know, I'm giving a message tonight encouraging you to develop a what? A plan. Well, there might be another student that you've led to the Lord, or they're in a discipleship team that you're on, or they're a freshman and you're a senior, but you've gotten acquainted and got a good relationship. Hey, before you ever leave, talk to each other and say, hey, what's your plan? Well, here's what I want to do. Well, great. Well, here's my plan. And then you go through that week sharing that together and encouraging each other, helping each other succeed. It's a great way to have a ministry to somebody, is help them succeed in the plan that God gives them. Another thing is to take time and pray over those plans while you're there. You do that with them, or schedule some time with them in which you can go for a long walk. I encourage you to get some time of solitude. Also, plan some time when you can get some one-on-one time, or if you're a part of a FE group or a DT group, maybe the group can get together and do something. But plan on investing in other people's lives and in encouraging and challenging them. That'd be a third thing I would do if I was able to go to the Glen this year. A fourth way that I would answer that question when I get back from the Glen, I will have, is with this statement: I will have been a servant. I will have been a servant. I tell you what, you want to be blessed this next week? Go with an attitude that says, I'm there not only to learn, but I'm there to be as helpful as I can possibly be. Go as a servant. Now, some illustrations of what that might include is just pay attention to what's going on around you. A servant doesn't necessarily mean that you are part of the bus loading team. It just means that you're paying attention to what's going on. And then when you see a need, take initiative to be helpful. So tomorrow night, we're loading the buses. There may be some help that they need. Offer to help. And if they don't need it, fine. But if they do, you've taken initiative. There might be some other things that need done around here. And just offer. When you get there, just pay attention to the room that you're in and ask the question, is there a need around here that I can meet? And when you see those needs, when it's appropriate, take initiative and meet the need. A third thing is express gratitude to other people that are serving. There are a lot of people that have worked really hard to make this conference a meaningful conference for you, and a simple thank you goes a long ways towards blessing them. So you're going through the line. You know, those people got up early that morning to cook your breakfast. And I know the staff there. They are professional chefs and restaurant managers. For you to walk up and say, you know, I'm with the University of Oklahoma, BSU, and we're here this week, and I just want you to know that omelet you made the other morning was incredible. Or, now this isn't saying much, but to be able to say, boy, the meals around here sure beat the dorms. Or, you know, things like that. But to say thank you, or to go to the secretarial staff or some of the grounds personnel that work there day after day after day, and to say to them, you know something, I've really met God this week, and one of the things that's made it so easy is the fact that the grounds are so beautiful. This place is so well kept. Thank you for the time you invest. Be a servant and be grateful while you're there. If there was a fifth thing I would put on my list of things I would plan to do, it's I will have fun. It's one of my basic missions in life, is I'm going to have fun. Now, help me with this. Is this a good plan or a bad plan? Fun means staying up till 4 in the morning playing spades. Bad plan. Fun means flirting with the girls. Well, it might be a good plan. Depends on how good you are at it. I've had a lot of fun in life. No, it's normally a bad plan at a conference like this. There's a time and place for that. There's also a time where, you know, that's just not it. for those of you that have been there, and is it Bighorn? That's the big one up on the lodge. Climbing the wall at the fireplace. Bad plan. Yeah. Hiking to the bowls all by yourself. Bad plan. There's some bad plans. In other words, you think, boy, this is going to be fun. But what winds up happening is somebody gets hurt or something gets torn up or you're up late and then everybody's exhausted the next day and it really messes up the conference. So make sure that your fun serves people and advances the purpose of the conference rather than you just having fun at other people's expense. But have fun while you're there. Really have fun. Now, I brought something along. It's free. I guess I've got a minute. You want the free stuff? There's no charge on this one. Some of you can't go to the Glen. And how many of you aren't able to go this next week? Well, include me in that list. I don't get to go either. Well, let me give you a tip on how to have a good spring break when all your friends went to Colorado Springs and you don't get to go. For one thing, do what I've just told the group that's going to the Glen. Do the same thing for your spring break. Don't just go home for spring break, but have a plan. Here's what, when I get back from spring break, I will have. You can have significant encounters with God. You can develop relationships. You can be a servant and you can have fun. I mean, plan it. But all your friends are going to Colorado Springs and you get to go to Muskogee or Poto or worse than that, Bison, Kansas, where I'm from. There's not a whole lot of action in Bison. Where the deer and the buffalo play. That's what we do in Bison. But, gang, let me tell you something. When I was in college, a bunch of my friends went to this big conference at the time that was led by a guy named Bill Gothard. I didn't get to go. But when they came back, I listened very carefully to what they said about what they learned. And occasionally they would even open up the secret notebook that they got, and I would see the illustrations and the diagrams. And you know what I did with that information? I applied it to my life. And you know what I figured out about truth? Secondhand truth is just as true as firsthand truth. Just because you didn't get to go to the conference doesn't mean you can't get something out of the conference. So, when your friends get back, listen to what they say. Because they're not going to tell you everything. They're going to tell you the most what? Important things. So really, you save time and money. That's why I'm not going. I'm cheap and lazy. No, really. You listen carefully to what they come back with, and you then apply it to your life. There are things to this day that are blessing my life from that conference that I mentioned earlier that I didn't hear. My friends heard it. But they came back and told me what they learned. I applied it in my life. Some of my friends didn't apply it. I did apply it. And guess who's being blessed today? Well, I am. So the secret is not necessarily, did you get to go to the Glen as much as did you apply the Glen? Now, I'm not suggesting you back out tonight and say, well, he told us it's okay to just stay home. I'll get my $400 back. But you get the point. If you don't get to go, that doesn't mean you're second class and somehow you're left out. Just listen to the tapes. That's what I plan to do. And I plan on picking the minds of my two children who are able to go. And then I'm going to do what with what I've heard? I'm going to put it into action and apply it to my life. So, wrapping it up, let me challenge you with this. Take some time in the next 24 hours before you load the bus. If you wait till you load the bus, there's too much activity. You probably won't get around to this. Between now and the time you show up tomorrow night to get on the bus, come up with a plan. And if you don't know how to plan, take that statement I gave, that incomplete statement that just says, when I get back from the Glen, I will have. And start there. Write your plan down. Put it on paper. If possible, share it with somebody else. If there's somebody you're in a DT group with or you want to share it with the staff, say, hey, this is what I'm looking for at the Glen. This is what I'm seeking and this is what I want to find. And then every morning, as you prepare for the day, do your Bible reading, but then pull out that plan and say, Lord, this is what I'm looking for this week. This is what I'm looking for today. This is what I'm seeking. And read your plan to Him. And then throughout the day, watch to see what He does in fulfilling your plan. And I'm going to suggest that you will come back and you will say, I had a fantastic time. So I want to bless you tonight and just encourage you, have a fabulous spring break. And I look forward to hearing what you learn so that I can benefit from it also. Thanks.